Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is Isaiah chapter 60. I read it as the Old Testament lesson just a few moments ago. When I was in high school, I was really involved with photography. I actually had a camera, 35 millimeter single lens reflex camera, a few years before that. But that was a time in which I got involved with the journalism and publication departments, and there was a darkroom connected to that facility. And all of the film at that time was black and white. And when you're working with making reproduction of pictures, enlargements, of course, they were called, in black and white, you can work in a darkroom that is flooded with red light, so you can actually see what you're doing, pretty much. But when you're working with the film straight out of the camera, everything has to be in utter, total, and complete darkness. That's harder to achieve than you might actually think. We moved in 1976 to a new high school, actually 1977, and somebody had decided to paint the walls a kind of a dark cream color for the dark room. And so any little bitty bit of light that got into that room could be basically kind of broadcast over the whole thing. Total darkness is really hard to achieve. I also found that out whenever I was doing on-call overnights. It's hard to sleep when it's not dark in the room. I've replaced blinds, I've done other kinds of things with window coverings back when I would do more on call, which was when I was living in the mobile home that I lived in the north part of Urbana, and never really got a lot of really good sleep, because any little bit of light that would come in would just be reflected all over the place. The dominant image in the readings for this day is light shining into a dark world. You heard the words from Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. What a perfect complement to the wording that we hear in lessons in Advent and Christmas time, specifically in Isaiah chapter 9, where we read, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When God revealed himself to the world, and that's actually what the word epiphany means, it is not just a general revealing of an aha moment of some kind or another. Epiphany means the manifestation of God. And that is what this day is all about. The manifestation, the revealing of God. When God revealed himself to the world, he did it as light shining into a dark place. The world by itself is a very dark place in a lot of aspects, wouldn't you agree? Wars. Attacks, nations beating up on one another, nations taking over one to the other, violence in cities, strife and difficulty and so forth in homes. And that's why the first element of creation was actually light. Let there be light, it was thundered from heaven in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. This was the beginning of God's gift of light to the world. Light is pure. Easily a symbol for God's holiness. It floods over darkness and destroys it, much the very same way that God's holiness floods over sin and wipes it out. Light is actually the backbone of life. Without light, the living organisms of the earth would wither and die. Do you know why Christmas is celebrating on December the 25th? You know, we don't actually know the day that Jesus was born. We don't even really know the season that Jesus was born. Some think it might have been sometime in the spring. But here in the Northern Hemisphere, December the 25th, before Christmas was Christmas Day, was celebrated as the festival of the sun god. And that is because that is the day that the sun starts returning towards the northern hemisphere. The days start getting longer. I looked last night on the internet, and we picked up almost 10 minutes of daylight just since the winter solstice actually happened, which is out because of different dating and things like that, actually December the 22nd. But Christmas being December 25th, and Christmas having been a pagan holiday before it was Christmas, or December 25th being that at any rate, actually then uses that imagery to talk about the light of God coming into the world. Even our church paraments, investments, and so forth reflect this. Bright white, the holiness of God, shining into a world of darkness and sin. This is reflected in the words of Jesus in John chapter 8 when he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will see the light of life. Another great theme in the readings for today is the inclusion of the whole world. All races, all peoples, all languages, just like it says in the book of Revelation when St. John is allowed to peel back the fabric of heaven, so to speak. And what does he see? There before me I saw people that could not be counted, of every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. Isaiah says it here in Isaiah 60 when he says, Nations shall come to your light. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. So what makes this story of the coming of the wise men or the magi so significant is that they are the first non-Jews that are recorded in the Bible to be the visitors to come and offer their gifts and worship the Lord who is the baby Jesus. Probably at the time that they showed up, it was actually in Bethlehem, and probably at the time they showed up, he was closer to 2 years old than being an infant. Manger scenes notwithstanding. But then we also can listen in to St. Paul in today's epistle because he was very pleased that the Gentiles were also included. St. Paul sometimes referred to as the evangelist to the Gentiles. This is what is recorded in Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 6. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Smile, that's all of us. Basically non-Jews, included in God's promise here. Yes, it is true that starting with Abraham, God focused his attention down to a particular couple at first, Abraham and Sarah, and from there, a particular family, Abraham's family, and then from there, the descendants of them that came to be known as the Israelite people, the ancient Israelites, or later on, the Jews. Now, he did that not to exclude anybody else, but to provide a system or a place or a way for the Messiah, his son, to come into the world. But it was always the intention of God that the Messiah would come not just for a group of Jews and not just for a family and not just for one nation, but for all people. And Epiphany is the season of the church year where God is actually then hanging out the big welcome sign that says that all are welcome in the kingdom of God. I'm sure you can remember a time when you were excluded from something you wanted to be involved in. Do you remember how painful it could be when teams were being chosen when you were in grade school? I was a stocky, I won't say fat because that's not nice, but I was completely out of shape, kid, not coordinated, and I was always the last one to be chosen on any kind of team that was chosen, except battle ball. Anybody know what battle ball is? You know what battle ball is? There's a pin that's set back on the line in the gym, and one person tries to guard that pin, and everybody else is throwing balls back and forth. I was always the pin guard. It's not fun to be left out. It's not fun to be marginalized. It's not fun, but unfortunately, despite how far we think we've come in our world, we still have marginalized groups. Women in our country continue to face that. Minorities too. Sometimes it seems that the divisions actually are accentuated or grow more instead of being more inclusive. People are excluded in a variety of ways. But guess what? without Christ, we would all be excluded from the kingdom of God. Because without Christ, instead of a big welcome sign at the door of the kingdom of God, it would say, sinners not allowed. But that's not what the Epiphany season teaches us. Just as light seeps through every barrier and light continues to shine and light continues to permeate into our world, it doesn't stop shining. It keeps going through the entire universe so that God's grace spreads through the whole world, just like that light does, drawing people to God from all nations. And that includes, again, you and me. In addition to the images of light that is shining in a dark place and the inclusion of God's grace to all people in the world, I'd like to leave you with a third image, and this is kind of a minor image, just a little bit. Not a major image of Epiphany, but it's a strange one. And the image I'd like to leave you with in this particular case is the singing camels of Sheba. Even camels can sing God's praises. Wasn't it wonderful to have all the children here on Christmas Eve? And I had more than one family member come up to me at one point and say, gosh, sorry about all the noise. And I said, hey, if we quieted all the children, then the pews would probably still be talking and singing and so forth. That's kind of what Jesus said whenever the Pharisees told Jesus to make the people shut up at Palm Sunday. All the children were singing praises to God, and no, the rocks and stones would start singing if you told the children not to sing, okay? Even camels can sing God's praises. Listen again to the text. A multitude of camels shall cover you, young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. Bringing good news and proclaiming the praises of the Lord is the last way that I would describe noises coming from a camel. Now, I've never been around camels, except maybe seen them in zoos or something, and I can't remember the last time I saw that. So don't have firsthand knowledge of this, but I have read about it in various places. And apparently camels, in addition to being less than attractive, are also very nippy, irritable, smelly, and sometimes even kind of nasty. They spit at people when they go by. And yet here they are described as singing the praises of the Lord. And in the gospel for today, camels made it possible for those magi or wise men to come and worship their king as they were traveling through the east from the east. That means that they were coming across great stretches of desert regions to get to Bethlehem. That's how camels were involved in the praise of God, bringing those precious gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But even more precious than the gifts, the Magi themselves, who were the first non-Jewish visitors, worshipers, to come and give their praise and worship the baby Jesus. This singing camels of Sheba image is a marvelous one for Epiphany, both because it's so striking and also because it combines all of the other images we've been talking about today as well. The camels could just well represent the not included, the unattractive of the world, having no beauty of their own. They are not part of an in crowd, but they are from lands outside of Israel. And yet they end up being welcome into God's kingdom. Matter of fact, when you read St. Paul in today's epistle, he was kind of thinking of himself like a camel in a way. He spoke of himself as being the very least of all the saints in chapter 3, verse 8. And yet he was given the grace of God, and the grace of God that he was given, he ended up writing all kinds of books throughout the New Testament that shined the light of God's good news into the lives of so many people, and continues to do so throughout history to the present day. You see, even camels can shine with a glorious light as they reflect the light of God's love. They show that God has made us all phosphorescent. Now you've got a new word. Phosphorescent. You know what that means? It means basically reflective of light. I always think, when I think of the word phosphorescent, I always think of the alarm clock that my folks used to have on the table. It's called a Big Ben. Remember Big Ben alarm clocks? Or maybe you had a Baby Ben alarm clock. No plug-in. Had to wind them up every day. But they had that dial on them that when light shined on them, and then when the light went away, you could still see what they said. We don't think about that today with all of our LCDs and LED lights and all of the other kinds of things that we have that shine things today. They glowed, but only after being exposed to a source of light. And that's the way it is with us as Christians. We glow with the light of Christ. That's what we're called to do. Be light to the world. Jesus himself said it. You are the light of the world. He was talking about us being light reflectors to shine the message of his Son and the work of his Son on the cross and the forgiveness that he came to win, not just for a few people, but for all people. So if an unattractive camel can sing beautiful praises to God, you can be the light of the world. You can help spread the epiphany of God to people all around you. Here we are at the first Sunday of 2026, a brand new year. In a brand new year for our congregation that has been struggling with some things like church attendance and being vital and viable into the future, to figure out ways that we can shine the light of Christ into the lives of people around us to draw them to come and find God here. Epiphany is that festival that shows the welcome mat being put out for people that seem traditionally to be considered outside the church. So how can we, as God's people, put out that welcome mat right here at Osmond for the people in this area? Think about that. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.